Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you, and our regular co-hosts, the money healer, Stephanie J. Alvarez, and Dr. Nicole Kane. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Welcome. Welcome. I'm Glenn Brooks, and it's great having you with us. I wanted to read something to you. Just felt moved. So this is the homeroom teacher, the class teacher, for someone you're going to know who it is. This is what she has to say about this very famous person. She says, his mere presence was a disturbance to the other students. Everything he did disturbed the other people in the room. He frequently asked questions that revealed to me he had some kind of serious learning incapacity. His intelligence was way below average. I highly recommend he be put into a specialized program, because clearly this person has no ability to creatively think and to see. He needs help. She's talking about Albert Einstein. That's from the book In the Mind's Eye, In the Mind's Eye by Thomas West. To become vibrant, you also need to be uninhibited. And in a world where everybody tells us, you know, they're holistic or they're this, the thing I want you to pay attention to today, that even new beliefs, whether it's empowerment or holistic dentistry, we're going to dive into dentistry, we need to go beyond certain labels to get to something that truly matters, right? Because so often we, even if it's a better system, it still sometimes is a formula. So on this show today, I want to explore with you how to go beyond the barriers so that you can have another level of connection and access in the most practical way, probably save a ton of money and have another level of satisfaction. And with that, I want to dedicate the show to Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, my good friend, and someone that changed my life by our dialogues and conversations. Dr. Nick Gonzalez was a world-renowned, he passed away, world-renowned oncologist, nutritionist, who was at Sloan Kettering for 20 years. But soon after meeting Dr. William Kelly, who wrote a book called One Answer to Cancer, he realized that what he was doing, and what he was focusing on in the known, in the formula, wasn't fully working. People were passing away, and medicine really had not much to say to pancreatic cancer. When I met Nick, he told me very quickly that most people die after the diagnosis. He said the first thing he wants to do with them is help them feel a sense of faith and connection to a new vision of their life being healed. I referred many people to Nick, and he called me one day, and we had a conversation about dentistry, because his teacher, of course, was a dentist. And he says, Glenn, he goes, I don't know what you make of these holistic dentists, but a lot of them, they do things that are pretty harsh and invasive. And we had a conversation about this. So as a consumer advocate and someone who dives deep, I want you to join me today, because Nicholas had Dr. Saul Prester call me, who does something called biomimetic dentistry. Biomimetic, to do things in conjunction with the laws of nature. So on today's show, my intention is to set up a new standard or definition for authentic well-being dentistry. And I want to say I'm honored to have Dr. Saul Prester on. He's president of the International Academy of Biomimetic Dentistry. And I want you to get your pens or listen, because I think we're going to share some things that will surprise you and inform you and probably change the way you look at dentistry. And again, imagine your dentist being focused on this. I want you to pay attention to this. Imagine they're focused on minimally invasiveness. Minimally invasiveness. If you go to a dentist and they want to do a lot of invasion, is that truly holistic? Is that truly good dentistry? If they want to do all kinds of crowns and caps. I want to welcome Dr. Saul Presser. Saul, great having you on.
Thank you so much, Glenn. How are you today?
Yeah. I'm good. I'm thrilled to share the message of biomimetic dentistry. Why don't you introduce people to the field and kind of what got you moving? You graduated Penn University. You're a dentist, and I'm always curious how you reexamined what you were learning and kind of moved into this field of biomimetic dentistry.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah, I went to University of Pennsylvania School of Dental Medicine in Philadelphia, and then I did a 2-year residency at University of Connecticut School of Dental Medicine in Farmington, Connecticut. And Penn's philosophy was different than UConn's. Penn's philosophy was very oriented towards periodontal prosthesis, which was really pioneered at Penn, where Dr. Morton Amsterdam and Dr. D. Walter Cohen, who was my dean, invented this field of trying to save what were thought to be hopeless teeth by doing periodontal surgery to restore the bone support and gum support, and by splinting teeth that were thought to be hopeless together and having patients be able to function better and look better. But it was a more aggressive approach than what we do today in biomimetic dentistry. But it did, I guess, plant a seed in my head that we could try to save hopeless teeth and try to save as many teeth as possible. University of Connecticut, where I did my residency, was a very Scandinavian-influenced dental school. The dean was Harold Lowe, who was a world-renowned periodontist, and there were a lot of other dentists from Sweden, Norway, Denmark. And in Scandinavia, actually, the modern osteo-integrated implant was invented in Scandinavia by Dr. Brandemark in Sweden. And University of Connecticut instilled in me a more conservative approach to restoring teeth. I then found Dr. Ray Bertolotti, who practices in San Francisco, who is considered the Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hold on one second. I have this.
Sure.
When I told people I was going to be on today, they have these questions. And your academic background and your explanation academically is significant. The thing that when I told people I was going to have you on, because people have called me who spent $100,000 on dentists, and they've gone to numerous dentists. And I just want to say, when I found what you were doing with the biomimetic, it really distinguished itself. It really was different. So let's, for people listening, I want you to share the three things about, that'd be great. So many people associate dentistry with tremendous pain and tremendous money that it's a dilemma.
Right.
What are the three things?
Three things that influenced me?
The three things that you think for people listening that you want to really, like I'll give you an example. The fact that you don't do crowns is an example.
Correct.
You're not doing things. Let's talk about invasiveness and roughness of dentistry and talk about the approach that you have is not to go in there and do a lot of invasive stuff. And I know a lot of people listening to this network, we have tons of people listening to this network that are really interested in a holistic approach. And yet a lot of people in holistic dentistry, they do a lot of invasive stuff. So let's talk about minimal invasiveness is the first path.
I try to preserve as much tooth structure as possible. Like if a tooth cracks, we were all taught in dental school to file the rest of the tooth down to protect the rest of the tooth and do a crown. But as I've studied, doing crowns involves much more removal of tooth structure than is necessary, especially since today we have modern adhesive techniques that can bond teeth together more effectively and for longer and resist bacterial invasion. And that's what got me interested in biomimetic dentistry, because in biomimetic dentistry, we can seal the periphery of the restoration against bacterial invasion for longer. And by preserving more tooth structure, studies show that you're less likely to need root canals, and you're less likely to lose the tooth. Teeth that have had root canals and crowns are more likely to be lost at an earlier stage than teeth that are restored more conservatively. And that appealed to me because I want to do what's best for my patient. And people are living longer, and they want to hold on to their teeth without undergoing aggressive dentistry and losing their teeth and having to do implants. So that's kind of
what I have a question.
Go ahead.
Sure. Well, as somebody who has a child, my daughter's 8 years old, and when I took her to the dentist, they told me she had 10 cavities, and it really freaked me out. I was
right.
Because they wanted to put her under anesthesia,
right,
and
right.
You know, wanted to do these fillings, and
right.
My heart right. started to race. I just, you know, imagined all of these things happening, and I did end up taking her to a holistic dentist. They
right.
did not put her under anesthesia, but they still gave her Novocaine, which I still was very apprehensive about. The dentist was uh-huh. a little, I would say, short with me, you know, and
right.
it's, and so she still has some dental work that needs to be done. What would you recommend to a parent who is going through something like that?
I get another opinion. I mean, I think that in a lot of cases we can use air abrasion, which is like
mm-hmm.
mini sandblasting to remove the bacteria and the decay. And sometimes you don't have to anesthetize with local anesthetic. It can sometimes be done without any local anesthesia, which is less traumatic for the child emotionally and just experientially. I would get another opinion. Maybe try to find a dentist who is more minimally invasive in your area.
Okay,
that's
is biomedical
yeah, no,
dentistry something that's very common where I live in the Bay Area, so...
Oh, you do. I have – actually, I know several of my colleagues who practice biomimetic dentistry are in the Bay Area. I could give you their names.
Yes.
And they would – I'm sure would be very helpful. Look, I can't – without seeing your child's x-rays or examining your child, I can't say for sure whether they – those cavities require local anesthetic or not. But
right.
these people who I know, we've trained together, and we try as much as possible to be minimally invasive. And often, especially in a child, we try to use micro etching, air abrasion, and it's less traumatic for the child. So that's what I'd recommend. And if you'd like, I can give you their names or give them to Glenn. You know, happy
yeah, let's. Saul, go ahead and give out the website. Give out your website. And anybody who wants to learn if there's a biomimetic dentist.
Sure.
You know, and spell, I guess spell biomimetic. Give out your website. And
yeah.
So people can
well, I'll give
it.
You both. I'll give you my website. And I'll give you the ABD
okay.
website. The my website is www.newyork-cosmeticdentist.com. But the Academy of Biomimetic Dentistry website is www.aob, as in boy, M as in Mary, D as in David.org. And that's the Academy of Biomimetic Dentistry website. And you can often find a dentist who practices biomimetic dentistry in your area. If you live in an area where you can't find a referral for a biomimetic dentist, I mean, I'm president of the academy. I'll give you my phone number. You can call my office, and I will try to find someone for you. My office number is 212-249-8999. I'd be happy to help you. So that was
so what I did is I was in – Thank you, Saul. What I did was I investigated it for 10 years, and what I found was is that this invasiveness, like people would get procedures, and pretty much some of them wouldn't recover from the procedures. And it was kind of – so people would call me from around the country, and what I found, it was kind of a conversation that people really wondered if dentistry could be done in a way that wasn't so invasive, that you didn't have crowns and that – even in the whole, I had this discussion with Dr. Nick Gonzalez, was that even some of the procedures of even people who call themselves holistic, there's no standard of holistic or cosmetic dentistry. So when people are using these terms, I want you to pay attention to minimally invasive. I want you to have them, you know, in the biomimetic approach, you don't immediately use crowns. You don't immediately, you're not
correct.
Looking to change the mouth, right? And you're not looking for a cosmetic standard. It may not even be good for your whole body. Your tongue and your ability to swallow. So the brilliance is it's this minimally invasive approach that's not adding, that's not invading your whole system. You know, kimchi, Kim Shimari is a resopath. She works with people on helping them find what resonates and works through their body. So, Kim, you comment, you know, we're having this conference come to New York on vibrant medicine, and part of the conference is all about the things that bring us to a high level of well-being and really what resonates with us. We have speakers come from all around the country. Kimsey, what as you hear Dr. Saul speak, what are you curious about in terms of biomimetic dentistry from someone who sits with people who come to you because they want to learn to bring things in their lives that resonate and help them, if you will, ignite a new natural health and healing response, which I love about your work, and I'm so excited to bring more practitioners around the world who are in common, at the common ground is they want to practice with more trust of the body, more minimally invasiveness. But what are you most curious about, Kimchi, as you're listening to this? What do you want to share?
You know, first, it is so nice to meet you here, Dr. Saul Bressner. Glenn told me much about your work, and I love dentistry. I love the dentist. And I came into the field, know nothing about dentistry. I ended up working with so many dentists and keep referring people to the best dentists out there simply because it is so important, the health of the mouth. And it is not because it is a cliche that I am now hearing it. It's just like after 20-some years of research, when I sit down and screen people, or many, many root problems, whether they have cancer or autoimmune or MS and so on, or allergies, it has always bring me back to the root problem start many years ago as a kid when we first begin to have cavities and then the amount of either amalgams or whatever they pour into our mouth, and then fast forward into our adult life and we still carry that with us, leading into all these decays and leading to why we are now having all these medical conditions. And to find out about what you do is not just dentistry, that you go beyond to make it minimally invasive is absolutely amazing.
Stay with us. We're just going to have a brief. We're going to have a brief pause, and we'll continue with the vibrant living. I want you guys to realize that once you ask different questions and go beyond offices that are just off and run on the convenience of the dental practice, ask questions. Let a real human being speak to you. Stay with us for more vibrant living. I'm Glenn Brooks. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. We're taking on the topic of dentistry. I discovered biomimetic dentistry about 4 years ago through my good friend, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, pre-renowned oncologist. He's passed away, but his insights and his inquiry led to helping people from around the world. But in that quest, you could say, the mind state that, listen, I call hundreds of dental practices. Pretty much the dental practices often just give you the kind of answers that keep, you know, allow them to keep the door open. When you ask anything that's kind of different, you know, and the office responds the way that's personal and to you directly. As an example, I talked to Dr. Matt. He's a biomimetic dentist in the L.A. area. And Dr. Matt told me that there was someone that came to see him, and every dentist wanted to extract their tooth. Every dentist wanted to get rid of that tooth. He saved the tooth. Dentistry usually sets you up for more dentistry. To experience dentistry, biomimetic dentistry, means that you're going to do something by the laws of nature. I just want to say, Saul, it's so different because every experience that I had with dentistry was so much more about invasion, and more invasion, and kind of somehow this one superficial idea that it's going to look good. Well, the people that call me from around the country said, well, it might look good, but they're still in pain because somehow the dentist didn't pay attention to their jaw, right? Say something about cosmetic dentistry, the real truth like that you want to share with people.
Sure. Well, porcelain veneers, for example, that are very popular, usually involve filing down the teeth. And the minute you take a handpiece to a tooth is really the beginning of the destruction of that tooth. And unfortunately, when you put a filling in a tooth, especially if you use dental amalgam, you can cause teeth to fracture, and down the line you need more and more dental work. And there are more conservative ways of making teeth look better with direct composite bonding, which does not require filing of the tooth at all, generally, sometimes minimal filing. So my suggestion for today is ask your dentist for treatment alternatives. And if you want to make your teeth look better, there are simpler, more cost-effective, more conservative, less aggressive treatments that are available that are better for your teeth. I would try to – less is more, basically, I would say.
Let's go to the food decoder. Susie Marie is with us. She covers new trends in food. She helps she assists people like discovering what really matters. You know, there's so much hype. And Susie's just great at being a decoder in general. So, Susie, what comes to your mind as you listen to Dr. Saul talk about biomimetic dentistry, to do dentistry with the laws of nature? What are you curious about? Hi.
Right. Okay. So I had two things, funny enough, I was going to mention. One was, so we've had, you know, a family dentist forever, and he, you know, God knows I have a lot of fillings in my teeth, and I didn't know I had that many teeth to have that many fillings in the first place, but anyway, right. And they're all mercury. So that was number one. I didn't realize that mercury is so toxic. And there is a man I met at a Health and Freedom Expo a long time ago called Dr. David Kennedy. And he did a YouTube video. Well, he has a whole bunch of different videos and things, but something called the smoking teeth. And if everybody wants to look at that, it's really a little bit scary because you see gas coming out of your teeth if you're drinking something really hot or cold. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you have mercury fillings, it's not good. So that's one thing. And then that leads to all kinds of health issues, et cetera. But on the other note, with my family dentist, you know, I'd go in for my checkup and he'd say, oh, you got another cavity. And I was so mad. I said, no, I'm not going to have another cavity. So I sat myself down for probably every day and said, no, this cavity is not getting 1 ounce bigger. And you know what? When I went back to that man, I think I had to go back in 6 months. He was shocked because he said, huh, like that's odd. I thought, you know, you should have had a bigger cavity or, you know, we were going to have to fill it or something. And it looks like it didn't get any worse at all. And I thought, yeah, you jerk. No, it wasn't going to get worse because I said it wasn't going to get worse. So there's my happy decoding.
Okay,
honestly,
so you brought up two things. You brought up two things.
Yes.
So one is the mercury thing, which
yes.
I think, like as an example, countries like Sweden have banned mercury, I don't know, 30 years ago. I think you've been mercury free forever, Saul. What's your comment on mercury? And then let's talk about, from your experience, remineralization, regeneration of the teeth, and your take on that, because obviously as someone
sure.
who does dentistry by the laws of nature. Love you to handle both those Susie's questions.
Sure. Well, I have not placed mercury fillings for quite some time. However, I don't remove them prophylactically because the more times your tooth is drilled on in your life, the more traumatic it is for the tooth itself and for the nerve. So it's tough because mercury is a toxic substance, which I no longer use. But we don't want to do any harm to the surrounding tooth structure either by removing an amalgam filling that is functioning. So it's a tough call. If a patient wants me to remove their amalgams, I do it safely under a rubber dam with high-speed suction and oxygen on their nose because
right.
we want to make sure that they don't ingest or inhale any excess mercury.
And you either.
But, I'm sorry?
And you either, or your staff. Because, yeah,
right.
there's
That's
mercury.
Very true. Exactly, yes, of course. Yeah. Absolutely, I agree. That's true.
All right, so tooth regeneration. Let's get your take, and then...
Sure.
And then we'll give out your website, and we'll have you on again.
Sure. In terms of tooth regeneration, remineralization, you know, yes, if you use very good oral hygiene, if you use xylitol-containing lozenges, you can actually alter the bacterial environment in your mouth. And fluoride is controversial. I realize that. But there are certain substances that you can use in your mouth to help to remineralize decalcified tooth structure. So not every cavity that is there needs to be operated on. And it's a good thing that you did that in terms of monitoring that tooth, because often cavities, if you keep them clean and use some remineralization techniques, they don't necessarily get larger and you don't have to drill away the tooth. It's something that can be monitored as well.
So I'm delighted to have you on. Why don't you give out your website again? You're going
sure.
to be part of the Vibrant Medicine conference. I love what you're doing. Please give out your website again.
Sure. It's thank you, Glenn.
www.newyork-cosmeticdentist.com.
And Glenn, thank you so much for spreading the message. It's for the benefit of all our patients and for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you, Sal. Appreciate you deeply. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
And
you
Sal,
know, you're very welcome, Sal.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Go ahead, Kimchi. You want to say something?
Did you have a question?
Yeah,
go ahead, Sal.
I have a question. Yes,
please.
I have a question, Sal. So when the person come in filled with amalgams, and you know this amalgam has been there for a long time, so are
yes.
you looking at it and say that, well, I may decide to live in there because I don't want to take bother the tooth even more? So how do you,
yes.
I would like to see, how do you resolve this issue with the person with still with plenty of mercury in their mouth? What do you recommend at this
Good
point?
Question. If an amalgam restoration, this is going to sound controversial, but if an amalgam restoration is functioning and it appears to be in good shape, I will not recommend that it be removed because I took an oath to do no harm. And the more times a tooth is operated on, as I said before, in a person's lifetime, the greater risk it is to the nerve of the tooth and to the surrounding tooth structure, creating cracks, etc. So I don't recommend that they be removed unless, A, the patient wants them removed, or if there is something wrong clinically with the amalgam, or if I see recurrent decay on the x-ray. So I still have 5 in my own mouth, and I'm monitoring them. And I have them monitored by my hygienist and my dentist and myself. So I don't prophylactically recommend that all the amalgams be removed because I don't want to do any harm to the tooth or to the patient. So
I have a response.
Go ahead, Glenn, sure.
Okay, I want to say upcoming we got Dr. Nicole Kane. We're going to talk about the high libido diet. We're going to talk about the energy rhythm, seeing the power of what happens when we actually bond with someone else's. All right, here, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. I had this conversation with Nick one day, Kimchi, who has people who's traveling. People who travel the world to see Nick. And this is when we first met, we talked about this very topic. And Nick's teacher, when he left Sloan Kettering in New York, considered the leading cancer hospital loading center in the world, Nick said to me, his teacher, Kelly, he was a dentist, and this is an interesting thing. What I want to explore this with you guys, that basically, Nick said to me that he met more people that had damages or that got overwhelmed by getting their amalgams out. That, in other words, the experience of pulling an amalgam out for a lot of people, even under the best conditions, it caused a lot of problems, this occurring. And he said to me at the time that he felt it was a source of invasiveness, it was harmful to people's nervous system. And one of the things he said to me is kind of like, yeah, obviously this would be on a case-by-case basis, but what was happening at the time, this is several years ago, is a lot of dentists were advertising they could remove your amalgams, which sounds like a good idea. His point was is that for some people, the toxicity and the nervous system, it'd be better to let them stay there, have them rest more and change their diets rather than the invasiveness and roughness of having their amalgams removed. So that was what he said to me at the time.
I agree. I agree with that. Yep.
All right.
So
I appreciate you so much.
Do you recommend?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. What you
I just have one quick question to Dr. Bressner. So do you recommend certain supplements? Why the mercury is still in the mouth? Do you recommend certain supplement to help the person chelate it or process this toxicity or over time as long as it's still in the body? Anything that you recommend?
I defer that to an MD, to a physician, to an integrative functional medicine physician, because I'm a dentist. It's not my field of expertise, and I don't practice medicine, so I can't recommend anything specific regarding that. But I would recommend a patient to go to a functional or integrative medicine MD to ask their opinion on that. That's not my field of expertise. I don't feel comfortable recommending a supplement for that. So.
Okay. That is something I can do. This is Dr. Nicole.
Dr. Nicole, I'm so happy you're here.
Okay.
Yeah, are you going to say something? You want to say something about this, Nicole? You want to address this?
I love this. Yeah. So a naturopathic physician, we love to work with biomimetic dentistry. I know Nicholas Gonzalez is absolutely fabulous down here in Phoenix, Arizona. And so I've had patients go see him. And I love what you're doing. So I think it's brilliant. And what I've often recommended to patients, of course, I would need to meet the person and learn about their particular individualizing needs and constitution, but things that I've told patients to take are N-acetylcysteine, alpha-lipoic acid, taurine, glutamine, and glycine, and those have been really effective. They used to be in thorn solvent remover, which they don't make anymore, and so now people are just doing a lot of singles.
Right. I understand.
Oh, you know, just for to reference Dr. Gonzalez on this topic, Sal and Kimchi, the conversation that I first had with Nick was, and this is an interesting discernment, because obviously, Kimchi, you see a lot of people and work with them nutritionally, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. The thing that Nick was concerned about, which I think is an interesting discernment, I think that a lot of dentists, and this is for you guys as a consumer advocate, dentists claiming that this now is their expertise, unless they have some unusual training, I'd want to go to someone who has a lot of understanding of whole body nutrition, energy systems, structure. I think that was his concern at the time. Again, and this is someone who sees people from around the world, and so I love that that you're straightforward. So, your dentist needs to have a team that they can refer to like Dr. Kane and Kimchi. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, Sal.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
You know, you're listening to the Vibrant Living Network and Glenn Brooks welcoming Dr. Nicole Kane. I was one of my teachers was a guy named Dr. Paul Pearsall, who wrote a book called Super Immunity, for many, many books. One of his big things was, he worked with this hospital, and he would write prescriptions for his clients, you know, at the hospital, so they can actually bring their partners in to make love. And that sexuality and closeness. You know what happens is we think about life just from purely like a mechanistic place, and we kind of forget that we need places where we can kind of let down and deeply rest and connect with people. And so it's so relative. When I've had people on through the years, I have many people on the years through the years who've not just recovered, but gained new levels of robust well-being. It's really so much beyond just procedures. A few weeks ago, I consulted with a woman. She's in her 80s, She could barely speak to me. And I asked her to, like, whisper into her daughter's ear. So she'd whisper into her daughter's ear the responses she wanted to give me, because she was involved in a program in the Naples area. It was $3,000 a month, and she was running out of money for this program. And I was asking what really worked in the program. And, you know, I could tell, like, listening to her, I think she passed away the next day. But she was saying, like walking and seeing a tree, seeing her family, like telling a mom with her family, there's invisible healing elements that touch us and that are so potent that oftentimes they're not sellable. And that's why in this segment with Dr. Carr, I wanted to get into a new show we're going to be producing around vibrant relationships, the high libido diet, the energy and wonder of intimacy. Because when really what it comes down to, if you're carrying around a lot of cortisol and you're carrying a lot of chemicals, you don't feel this deep sense of connection. And this is one of my questions around a lot of this new stuff over the last 30 years around empowerment and kind of putting on a pedestal just this me journey. There's a wonder and a specific beauty of being deeply bonded with one person that has helped so many people in their immune, you could say that what sparked their immune system is Dr. Weil talks about this guy has a terrible flu and his girlfriend made love to him and he talked about the immune response. See, the immune response of life and questioning and feeling uninhibited is so relevant. I'll give you one more thing. Larry Clapp, who was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and his doctor demanded he get the surgery like within a couple of days. And the doctor banged his desk and said, "You're getting a surgery." And Larry told him, he banged the desk back. He goes, "I'm not." He goes, "I'm going to explore what my options are." We had another 15 years. And those years were very fruitful. So part of what it is conforming to the formula as people dictate it to you. Even if it sounds good, it's like we rest, we rejuvenate in a system, and it's often a relational system. Nicole, I'm just so happy to have you here. I'm so happy we're going to have this regular show, and I deeply appreciate you. We're going to talk about the energy of intimacy, the high libido diet, take your calls, and hear more from Kimchi in a moment. I'm Ben Brooks. Stay with us.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm glad, Brooks, you're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. Kimchi, we're going to be setting up a meeting with you and Dr. Saul Pressner. One of the beauties of the Vibrant Living Network is they have a lot of practitioners and people in mastery in their fields, and bringing them together kind of allows us to discover whole new worlds together. I want to welcome Dr. Nicole Kane, our regular team member, and our new show on the high libido diet, the energy of intimacy, the power and beauty of relationships. God, I just want to have you share what moves you about it and what things you want to share with people. I want to hear your beautiful voice. It's wonderful catching up with you today, Nicole.
I know it feels like a long time. I am excited to talk about the high libido diet. And so, you know, kind of thinking about it, Glenn, I feel like it's really easy for people to just be like, oh, fabulous, tell me what to eat, and then I'm going to have a spectacular libido. But Glenn, what I love about the way you talk about this is that it's beyond the formula. It's not just a list of instructions of what to eat. It's really a transformation in how we live our lives. And I was wondering, Glenn, how you were thinking about it, but I was kind of laying this out and discussing this with the people that I'm around, getting all amped and excited about it. Is there are four key features that I thought about, and they're mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And so the diet is one really powerful component, but really it needs to be a synthesis of the entirety. What do you think?
Oh, I just we're kindred spirits. So yeah, I mean, I think I think it's really interesting. We're in a culture where everyone needs to know that, you know, everyone in a sense has this sense of they want to go on vacation or they want to do this. I think most people are just, it's almost like the priorities of life we get removed from up until, and maybe you could say that's a gift or the blessing sometimes when people have an illness. Something interrupts their normal or their formula. And in some cases, it's been couples who discover each other, and they discover the wonder of their bond and their sexual connection, their, I mean, you know, this in my life really early, I picked up this book. I didn't quite, it was kind of, it's called The Function of Orgasm by Wilhelm Reich. I'm going to simplify this because it's kind of, so what he's talking about is that what happens is we come into this life and we start to develop armor. We start to develop, he'd call it character armor and body armor. And what he's talking about, and this is kind of interesting because I started to really read on this topic. So this, in some sense, it's bigger than this, but there's one kind of sex we could have. It's a kind of a sympathetic sex. It's a very, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's this deeper level of lovemaking and sex where it actually rejuvenates our physical heart and opens up another whole level of energy and passage that restores our respiratory and our nervous system. And this is something that, you know, really the high libido diet, I, you know, when I kind of came up with this idea and I had a chance to share it with you, I realized that Cupid's poison is when we kind of just don't live this. I guess I see it as almost like a lovemaking lifestyle, and it's just such a wonderful bond, and there's so much healing wonder there that I thought, well, we should have a regular show. I'm also a matchmaker, so I love sharing this with people. I love what you just said. So, what did you when you talked to your with your staff and the people around you, what a couple of things that you find particularly moving that you want to share with people that you think would help their libido and their awareness to develop their deep intimate bond?
Well, one thing that people were more interested in is, so one thing that I was telling people to do is I was talking about, okay, when you're starting to implement the high libido diet is to not actually have intercourse at all in that first week, that it's almost kind of forbidden, where instead I gave instructions about being with your partner in a way that is completely non-physical. So no touching, no intercourse, but rather holding that place and looking into each other's eyes and just seeing what it's like to have an eye-vow connection in that moment, just on a spiritual level. And when I was describing that to people, either they would laugh and tell me that's insane, or they would be deeply, deeply moved by that. I know, I love that. And I'm like, yeah, it seems completely insane. You know, I'm helping you with a high libido diet, and I'm telling you, you can't actually have sex. And so, but I think it's really important to kind of zoom in on that component of spirituality. And I feel like it's very easy to cover that up and with behaviors and formulas and, oh, I'm going to eat more watermelon or more passion fruit or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But
yes,
concomitant or along with adding in those dietary tweaks and changes and those herbal changes that can go with the diet is really looking at what's going on spiritually. So that's the funniest thing is
you're crazy, or oh my gosh, that's powerful.
You know, Nicole, you said that, and it really, it struck something in me, because I feel like we have been sort of taught, and most of us feel very comfortable having sex, but not being intimate. So when you're staring into somebody's eyes, that is a very, very intimate thing. And so I feel like most people they're basically going through the motions, but they've never actually experienced true intimacy with anybody.
Yeah, and that's really scary for people. It is, you know, they're like, I want to have a high libido, I want to have a good sex life, but that intimacy, I think, opens the door.
Well, you know, in this book, there's a book called Sex in the Heart, and what he's talking about when couples make love and they orgasm together, and it's from an unarmored place, it totally changes everything. It changes their
bond.
And
the enjoyment of it, of course, and the way they exist in their spirit and their body. It's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. And I think things that are like that have so much power, are either terrifying to people or so unbelievably exciting that they just can't wait to start.
Well, no, by the way, I totally love what you just said, because I was talking to Stephanie the other day about this idea that it's an unusual education. It's kind of like what you just said was so beautifully simple and powerful, because when couples really could start to, I guess, build that connection and kind of drop into it, it does deepen their connection, and it kind of it sets the tone. I just love it. I mean, that's so much a part of how I see matchmaking. It's kind of like feel the signal, feel the wonder and beauty of that non-physical. Feel what it's like to be with someone in this energy level. And that also, by the way, retrains our nervous system. So making love at a different level of our nervous system, this place you could call it as relational awareness that we share, it allows us to actually have more ecstasy and connection, which is paradoxical, right? The pause that you talked about, which I love, it kind of sets up for this deeper bond. And you're right. People think it's crazy because they dive in and they don't realize. It's kind of like waiting for a really good meal or something. It's kind of like the preparation and the smell and the – I love it. I love how you said that. It was so succinct. And kimchi, by the way, goes to a country where they're – she goes to a country where happiness is considered their major resource, not finances, but the National Happiness Index. So kimchi – I love you to chime in here in the sense that you see people all day long and you work on what resonates with them. For most people I know, they'd like to have a deep, deep connection, and they'd like a deep, intimate sex life that is meaning, closeness, and wonder. And so I just love what Nicole said. I think I can get your input.
Well, I just thought what Nicole said was absolutely amazing, to have the courage to look at intimacy in a different way, which we most of the time go into the emotion and not really connect at a higher level. I do find that once we are able to connect deeply, and especially to the window of the souls, we can touch each other so much deeper. That fact alone will bring on the excitement, will bring on the deeper connection, I think, especially for women, and that would help bring on the love and the openness of the heart, and through that, sexual energy will flow. So I think this is what I get from what Indigo say, and I totally support that. Mm-hmm. And yes, of course, we can take ginseng, we can take adrenal support. There's so much that we can do to help support the physical body. But I think that it will help. I mean, to have that physical support is great. But I think that the heart has to be open first for that energy to flow. And then, of course, the supplement would just enhance that energy of for the libido.
How many when people see you, Nicole, how many people bring up to you or recognize they would have a deeper experience of intimacy, either with their lovemaking and their deep sacred sex life? How many people bring this up to you with and wanting guidance, or what's your experience? Because, you know, in our culture, everybody's talking about sex, but right, there's very little intimacy, and there's very little of this deep ecstatic experience. So I actually, in the book, in the High Libido Diet book we're writing, I was working the chapters on living. Originally what I said to people, this is a book about living an orgasm together. And then I kind of changed it to a book about living in a kind of ecstatic connection and relational bliss together. What's your experience with people in terms of when they come to see you? Is it a common conversation? Or, because what you just said was so revolutionary. It was kind of like a revolutionary comment in the sense that we're not really used to, we don't have an education about pausing. So what do you want to share? By the way, Kimchi, thank you. That was beautiful.
Yeah, I echo that, Kimchi. Thank you. Amazing. I 100% agree. You know, with my patients is, it's almost like the hierarchy of needs that Maslow talks about. A lot of my patients, they come to me and they're in fight or flight mode, and what's really neat is I see them transforming and getting healthier. And then as they're getting healthier, then I see conversations like that starting to emerge. It's like they have the space and the bandwidth to even consider being vulnerable. Because if you're having a panic attack every day of your life, or you're depressed and you can't even imagine having a connection with another human being, it's not even on their wheelhouse. But I feel like what I've seen and observed is it's like a continuation of growth. And so some people, they stop and they're happy with where they are. And then other people that I encounter in my patients, they're like, now what else? Like, what other things can we do? Can my sex life get better? And I'm like, absolutely. Let's talk about that. And then those are the most incredibly transformative experiences that I've had with patients, and they've gone down that road.
You know, Glenn, you and I were having this conversation the other night.
Well,
I just want to say this, how you were saying that most people are sex-starved. After having this conversation, I would say really most people are starved for intimacy, because I feel like when you have that true level of being intimate and really letting down all of your armor, the sex naturally is going to flow. That's going to be the natural thing that is going to occur, because you're going to feel that level of connection and intimacy that you've never felt with anybody before. And so the follow-up to that is going to just be that overwhelming sensation of, I want to be with you. I want to now have sex with you, because that level of intimacy is so high and you just feel it. It basically, you can feel the pulsations in your body that will draw you to that person.
What I was talking to Stephanie about last night, Nicole and Kimchi and Susie, was that, and we don't get, most people don't get any education. So I was talking to Stephanie about the idea that for men, when they drop into themselves, when they drop, and they kind of, if you will, drop into their testicles, and they really drop this energy, it becomes, in some sense, it's very attractive, and in some sense, to women. And then what happens is, it's almost like you become more attuned, you become more relationally present. There's this, and this is not really, this is something that we just don't, it's an uncommon conversation, just like the Vibrant Living Network. It's kind of going beyond the formula. So the formula has us focus on, you know, this kind of external thing. And this way is really what I call the ecstasy bond. It's really being able to have this level that in some sense recycles with your partner as you become more aware. It's like your breath's opening together. And so there's all these, like, I guess you could say tie-ins to this. In some sense, you're living in foreplay and the wonder of being together and discovering. In the new book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, with Dr. Amin, he's talking about sex changes your brain. So he's recommending that having a conscious sex life is one of the ways to keep your brain rejuvenated. He just had his brain scan after 20 years, and he was saying his brain's totally different. So I think part of the thing with sex intimacy is we're kind of getting past this, you know, reactive brain. Because when we're in harmony and we share this level of deep intimacy and wonder, it allows us to experience the universe, as Einstein says, the most fundamental question is the universe a friendly place to be? When you feel bonded with someone and you feel you could be ecstatic and have the movement and have the conversation of intimacy, it opens up another pathway for the wonder of being a full human being. And that's why I'm so excited about the series. We're going to do a little matchmaking on the series, Nicole. We'll talk about nutritional things. We'll also talk about some different ways people could breathe. And we'll just share this because I feel like we're kind of encouraging you to take a different breath, to take a pause and engage something that's not really talked about. So what's something else you wanted to share today? What's something else you came with thinking I really want to share on our intro to our ongoing show on the High Libido?
Glenn, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I really wanted to thank Colin from Regulat because we have Joel Harper that's going to be joining us in February.
Please.
So I just really wanted to
thank
Regulat.
You know what? We got to go to our 10-hour format. Go ahead, Stephanie. Acknowledge what a wonderful, amazing product Regulat is. Kimchi works with it. Joel Harper works with it. It's beyond just a probiotic. It has an enzymatic formula that we feel from researching it. It seems to help people discover a new level of vitality, inner gut health, and it's the rejuvenation tonic and elixir. Rejuvilac. What's the website for Rejuvilac? I want to thank them for being one of our underwriters. What's the website?
Regulat-USA.com. Regulat-USA.com. It's Regulat.
You say that so beautifully. I want to thank Dr. Nicole Kane, Dr. Kimchi Moyer, Susie Marie, Dr. Saul Prester, who's amazing. And thank you all for your listening and your feedback. It's precious. I enjoyed. I want to thank Chris for having the Home Times Radio Network and all the wonderful people there. Your life's precious. Enjoy. Keep being curious. Thank you.